Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of WrestleChat Radio's Raw Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing last night's Monday Night Raw at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on our conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room. We'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Before we get started, however, on this week's Raw and our thoughts on this week's Raw, which is the go-home show for Saturday's Night of Champions, a couple of pieces of news that we do want to get to. First one concerning Mercedes Moné, the former Sasha Banks, who apparently injured herself at the New Japan pay-per-view Sunday. And, of course, you hate to see anyone ever get injured. But what did we say was going to happen here? What did we say was going to happen on this show? It's like we have a crystal ball sometimes. If there's anyone in the world who is not suited for New Japan, it is Mercedes Moné. She is injury prone as it is, and they have a very different style there, which leads to, you having to be pretty tough. I don't find her that tough. She's constantly injured. She's an extremely small, delicate woman. This is the problem, folks. And I get a lot of heat for this, believe me, when I say, very, very small wrestlers, be they male or female. It's really something that you have to really consider. Mick Foley once said he kept all that weight on because it was a buffer for some of the punishment that he took. And look at the condition Mick Foley's in now. Granted, he took a lot of punishment. But the prevailing attitude of a wrestler is you beef up and you're a little bit heavier so that you can absorb a little bit of the damage. When you have nothing, no buffer at all, and let's face it, Mercedes Moné is very petite, very small boned, and that, that does not lend itself well to taking bumps. And we've seen her injured time and time and time and time again. Part of the reason the WWE never kept a championship on her for a long period of time is because of her injury-prone nature. Now, she's injured in New Japan, which is exactly what we said was going to happen. I mean, you could see it coming. Take a look at somebody like Bianca Belair. She's got muscle tissue. She's got buffer. Asuka, Io Sky, Bayley. No, not so much Becky Lynch anymore, but she used to. Nikki Cross, Charlotte Flair, Rhea Ripley. Take a good look, and that's just the women. There are guys who are also injury-prone because they literally just have no extra meat on the bone. To be very careful with them, especially when they're going up against people who are, a little bit stiff. And this has been my thought for a long period of time, is that you have to really – it's very tough for people like that to succeed long-term in wrestling. Even Rey Mysterio bulked up. Go take a look at Rey Mysterio from ages ago and Rey Mysterio now and how much he's bulked. Shawn Michaels, when he was with the Rockers and then he became, the Heartbreak Kid, bulked up. You can say performance-enhancing drugs or whatever you want. I don't care. What I'm saying is they bulked up. And if you don't, well, this is the problem, especially when you get into a rougher federation with a style that's a little bit more stiff, Mike. So we predicted this. We said, how long is it going to be before Sasha Banks, Mercedes Moné is injured in New Japan, and now we know.
Absolutely. And think about it this way. There's a reason why, even though he lost, there's a reason why our friend, Mr. the artist formerly known as Shinsuke, happy right where he is. There's a reason why Tozawa, who's a smaller wrestler now, but he came from Japan, is happy right where he is, you know? I mean, yeah, he's a comedy bit right now, but you're not telling me that a guy at 40 years old and 140 pounds is going to want to go back to Japan.
Yeah, no, of course not. That's exactly correct. Listen, in the long run, we wish her well, and obviously nobody wants to see anybody injured, but when you have the skill set of a Mercedes Moné, but you have the fragility, if that's what you want to call it, you're better off in the WWE. The WWE, more than probably any other federation that I can think of, really plays to the let's be super safe in everything that we do category. They really, really don't. Once in a while, they'll pull out the stops with Sheamus and Drew McIntyre or Gunther or whatever. But normally, they're not into you taking a high risk or you working super stiff. They're just not. Especially with the women. So she would be way better off there. This is a case, in my opinion, of Mercedes Moné thinking she could write her own ticket anywhere she wants to write it, which she probably could, but then what is it that you are required to do once that ticket is written? You're required to get in there after you've told the world that you're the best wrestler in the world and the toughest wrestler in the world with a bunch of female wrestlers who've went through the buzzsaw and are tough as nails and do not appreciate being talked down to. So there you have it. Mercedes Moné injured. I don't know what the extent of the injury is. I believe it's her ankle or whatever. So I don't know how long she'll be out, Todd, but it is something we predicted.
Well, that's right. Like you said, with these injuries and everything, and like you said, we've been saying this for a long time. When she was in the WWE as the Sasha Banks character, she kept getting injured when she came off the main roster when she was in NXT. And, well, like you said, she should have bulked it up a little bit. Well, like, I remember back in the day with some of the guys who were not with us anymore, like Chris Benoit and Eddie Guerrero, guys were like that. They were small when they first came, when they started in the beginning. Then when they got into the WWE, they sort of bulked it up a little bit.
Yeah, you know, it's always a good idea. Again, nobody wants anybody to be injured. It's just unusual that it always seems to be that she gets injured everywhere she goes. And you've got to – for the people who say she's a very, very good and a very, very safe worker, okay. Well, then it's her size. It has to be. What else is it then? She's just unlucky. She's unlucky that she's injured every single place she goes for an extended period of time. If you're telling me she's very good at what she does and her execution is fine, then it's not that. Then it has to be something else, and that has to be her body structure. There's no other alternative, right? Unless you're the most unlucky person on the face of the earth, which I doubt she is. Anyway, I wanted to get on to AEW because on AEW Dynamite, they announced dates for their Saturday night show, which is AEW Collision. And from what I'm hearing, they're not doing too well on ticket sales. I know they had one scheduled in New Jersey. I think that's on July 22nd. And from what I hear, they've sold a little over 3,000 tickets. They did way worse up in Toronto, Canada. That one's, I think, in June 24th, talking about 1,500 tickets. And that's the day before their pay-per-view there, the Forbidden Door 2. And I think they were holding a TV taping June 29th, and that sold 600 tickets. That's not good. Now, you're coming off selling 50, 60,000 at Wembley, whatever you want to do. That's fantastic. But, folks, you can't sell 600 tickets. You just can't. Now, there's something wrong. Now, I don't know whether it's very bad publicity. I don't know whether it's people are waiting to see who's on the show, and they haven't really even advertised who's going to be on it. We don't know if CM Punk's on it. We don't know if he's not. I don't know what this is. But I do know that if a box office opens up somewhere on, let's say, a Monday for a WWE show, you can rest assured that there's going to be thousands of tickets sold the very first day. And you're not going to be looking down the barrel of, I'm 3 weeks away from a show or 4 weeks away from a show and I've sold 600 tickets. So something's got to give there. There's got to be a better business model there or something. Either that or they're just not appealing to that particular audience. Now, New Jersey, I can't speak for Canada. I have no idea. Perhaps they're not popular in Canada. New Jersey, they should be able to sell out. They've sold out in New Jersey before. Talking 3,000 tickets? That's not good news, Mike, and it doesn't speak well for the brand new show if you've announced dates for it, what's going to be a brand new television show, and you can't sell that building out.
Right, and that's the thing. I remember back when ECW was doing really, really well, 98, 99, 2000, whatever it was, and they came down here to New Orleans. Now, the big show was their pay-per-view. That was going to take place in New Orleans, but a few days before that, they came to Baton Rouge. They went to Lafayette, Louisiana. They went to, I believe, Shreveport, you know, and they sold out everywhere. Now, arenas because of ECW, but they sold out everywhere. They knew, and this was this is supposedly at the height of AEW, and they're not selling out 3,000 seat arenas. They're not selling out. They're barely selling 600 seats in some places. I mean, you talk about all the time the Mid Hudson Civic Center, right?
Yeah.
And you know if the WWE goes to the Mid-Hudson Civic Center, you better book it that place is going to sell out, right?
Yeah, they're only like 2,000 seats, so they don't they're going the first day. They're going the first day. Many was the time when I would literally go down to the Mid-Hudson Civic Center box office at 3 o'clock in the morning with an energy drink and lay against the wall until the box office opened at 9, and there would be a line by 4 o'clock in the morning. And by the time you basically got out of that line that day, you were lucky if you were going to get some bleacher seats. And those would probably be gone the next couple of days. So I remember the 205 Live selling out virtually, you know, hours. And AEW is sold out in hours. See, this is my problem. If AEW had always had a consistent problem of, well, we just don't sell a lot of seats, then I'd say, well, okay, you know, they have a lot of people who are fans of the TV show, but they're not drawing live, but that's not true. AEW is sold out in Chicago in hours. They've sold out the Meadowlands, I think it was, that they were at. They've sold out other, they were looking to go to Madison Square Garden, right? And I think they got nixed or whatever, but they were going to sell that. And you've went from, we can sell out these big venues in New York and New Jersey, to we can't sell 3,000 tickets. See, that's where the difference is. If you're a group, if you're a you know, a band, and you play, I don't know, you play a venue in New York, and you sell out in 3-4 hours. And you're like, damn, we sold out in 3 or 4 hours. So next time around, let's play New Jersey again. And next time, you can't sell 3,000 tickets. Somebody wasn't happy with what they saw. They bought the tickets for the first one, but they're not interested in the second one. So something's not good. Now, again, I don't know if it's just poor publicity where people are not fully understanding the tickets are on sale, or I don't know what it is. But I do know that I think it's time now to admit that maybe Tony Khan isn't the world's best businessman. And it might be time to start thinking about the business aspect of it and not the fun aspect of it. Wrestling's a very, you know, fun industry, and if you're a fan, it's great. You have the great matches and the big build-ups, and you get to name your programs all these cool things and do whatever. But at the end of the day, it is a business. And if your business is struggling to sell tickets, you got a problem. And you got to correct that problem. No matter what that problem is, you got to correct it. Whether it's publicity, whether it's, whatever it happens to be, you got to correct it. I think Tony Khan needs to correct this immediately. We'll see if they sell out. Tom in the chat room is saying, you know, they're going to paper the buildings. Of course they're going to paper the buildings. But the thing is, it's one thing to say we papered the building with 400 tickets because 400 didn't sell. It's another thing to say 4,000 didn't sell. So we'll have to wait and see. I'll keep everybody updated on that. Anyway, let's jump right into Monday Night Raw. Folks, I'm going to tell you this about Monday Night Raw. If you showed me this card on paper and said, here's what you're going to see if you're going to a WWE show tonight. You're going to see Ricochet versus Bronson Reed, Zoe Stark versus Candice LeRae, the Alpha Academy versus the Viking Raiders, Shinsuke Nakamura versus Finn Balor, Raquel Rodriguez versus Sonya Deville, Dominic Mysterio, Apollo Crews, and your main event is going to be Matt Riddle, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn against Imperium, I'd be like, that sounds like a good night. Sounds like a really good night. Sounds like a really strong house show, and it's probably going to be a lot of fun. Well, let's just say the WWE managed to take the fun out of most of this. Now, we started out with Cody Rhodes getting attacked by Brock Lesnar, which looked pretty good. I don't know where this is coming from, though. I want people to understand that my first reaction was something's wrong with Cody and he's not going to go to Saudi Arabia. And they need to figure out something to storyline-wise explain why he's not going to be there. By the end of the show, I'm saying to myself, what in the blue hell good is this? You've done one of two things. You've either gave Cody Rhodes an excuse for why he's losing. I'm tough as nails, and I tried to fight Brock Lesnar, but I have a broken arm, so there's just no way any man in the world with a broken arm could ever think to Brock Lesnar and win. So even though I lost, I'm still tougher than Brock Lesnar because I got in there and did. I don't like that angle. Second one is, even with a broken arm, I overcame Brock Lesnar. Well, if that's the case, then that's even worse. Because if you're going to do that, then here's what's going to end up happening. And I think it's already happening to some extent. Fans are going to start resenting the Cody Rhodes thing. Because if it's, well, he's always, oh, he's fighting over injury, and he's so magnificent and wonderful, and he's so brave, and he's so valiant, and he's so this. Fans are going to be like, fuck that guy. Already. Yeah, we get it. One armed, you're going to fight Brock Lesnar, you're a big, brave hero, and you're going to somehow pull it out. And, you know, people, I don't know, man. I see people resenting that. And if he loses and then says, well, what do you expect with a broken arm? Well, what are you saying? You're the one who said you wanted to go in there. And, of course, number three, there's no wrestler in the world who would ever be allowed to wrestle with a broken arm. So I don't know why they did this exactly. It's obvious he is going to Saudi Arabia. It's obvious he is fighting. So now, Mike, it just comes down to it's one of those two things. They either want an excuse for him to lose, or they want him to win and look like he's the most ultimate hero in the world. He's always fighting through injury. He's always fighting through some kind of roadblock. He's always the underdog, but somehow, because he has that fighting spirit in him, he wins. Fans don't dig that. I'm telling you right now, fans are going to get tired of that and be like, oh, yeah, Cody's so good. He beat Brock Lesnar with one arm. Yeah. But nobody else can do it, right? He ends the Undertaker streak at WrestleMania, but Cody with a broken arm can beat him. See where I'm going with this?
Yeah, I see where you're going with this. And furthermore, you know, you know, about whether or not we thought it was a mistake for Brock Lesnar to take that streak. We can argue about that, but that's not what we're talking about here. Yeah, at some point, they're just going to have to pull a pin on Cody. And I don't want to do this, but at some point, they're going to have to pull a pin on him being a heel at some point. Because the way they're going, they're going to turn him heel by accident, right? Which, see, you really shouldn't do. But by accident, I mean, oh, he keeps overcoming this shit. Oh, this stuff, and, oh, we hate him for it, right? They don't want to turn him heel, but that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, it's going to be that Roman Reigns syndrome of, oh, you're handing him everything. He was number 30 in the Royal Rumble, and naturally he wins. He has a torn pec muscle, and he goes into Hell in a Cell against Seth Rollins, but naturally he wins. He goes into WrestleMania with Brock Lesnar, and naturally he wins. And now he's going to go into Night of Champions with a broken arm. Oh, naturally he wins. Fans don't like that. I'm telling you right now, fans don't like that. So I don't know which it is. I don't know whether they give him an excuse to lose, in which case you don't need an excuse to lose. Just lose. How many people have lost to Brock Lesnar? See, this is why I'm telling you, and a lot of people, you know, they yell at me for this. I have always said John Cena was better for business than most people think. Everybody would say, oh, John Cena, I don't like John Cena. He's always Listen, when John Cena needed to, did John Cena take an ass-whooping from Brock Lesnar? He barely got a punch in. Go watch that match. They needed to make Brock Lesnar look like the biggest badass on the planet, and John Cena went in there and literally took bump after bump after bump after bump to make Brock Lesnar look damn near invincible. He barely got in a shot. This is John Cena we're talking about. The Undertaker said, I got no problem losing my streak to Brock Lesnar. Cody Rhodes with a broken arm, however, he will beat Brock Lesnar because I'm so determined. I'm so righteous. I'm so much morally whatever that I can overcome everything. I won't be told by the world I can't fight with a broken arm. Well, that's just stupid. It's one thing to do the pec muscle thing because he was told by the surgeon, listen, it's not going to get any worse. It's completely off the bone. You're getting it repaired the next day anyway or whatever, so whatever it is, it is. A broken arm? If Brock Lesnar loses that match, he may as well retire because his credibility is gone, completely gone, finished. If you can't beat a man with a broken arm in a street fight, then you're done. And if this was done as an excuse for Cody Rhodes to lose, then they never should have brought up the broken arm. They should have just said, well, his arm is injured, but it's not broken. And, okay, he might have, one bad arm here, but he got a few days to overcome it and, you know, take care of it, and it is what it is. Wrestlers have to tough it out through minor injuries. But to say you got a broken arm, and Triple H said, I'll just look at the arm, I can tell it's broken. Okay, well, if you look at the arm and you can tell it's broken, then there's no way in God's green earth you're going to go into a wrestling match with Brock Lesnar. That does not make Cody Rhodes look brave. It makes Cody Rhodes look stupid. And Tom, I just don't get the idea behind it. I don't think it's going to work regardless.
And here's the other thing that makes me chuckle, because WWE thinks its fans are really stupid and have a short attention span. Wasn't it a couple of weeks ago where Cody wasn't cleared to wrestle? And
yep.
What did he take? A few power bombs? Few F5s? And he wasn't cleared to wrestle? He's got a broken arm and arguing with the COO of the WWE, saying he's going to go to Saudi Arabia. Wait. Hold up. You weren't cleared to wrestle a few weeks ago, and you didn't have any broken limbs. So
right.
that's just it's insulting, if anything else.
Yeah, well, it is. And again, this whole episode had elements of that, which we'll get to. Okay, we start out with Bronson Reed versus Ricochet. Very good opening match. I found this a very interesting match. It looks like they're trying now to build up Bronson Reed a bit. I don't know whether it's too little too late or whatever it is, but everything was pretty much logical. Bronson Reed being a really big guy, Ricochet kept the action very fast-paced. There were times when the announcers were saying he's clearly trying to just wear Bronson Reed out, get him tired. Because once he can get him tired, if he can avoid him and he can get him tired, then he can win. The logic was there. Bronson Reed finally catches him. Once he does catch him, it's, you know, lights out. Gives him the big splash from the top, which would finish anybody, would probably kill Ricochet, but certainly finish most anybody. I have no problem with this match. I thought it was a very good opening match. I thought the right person won, Mike, and I thought that, you know, this is possibly the beginning of a push for Bronson Reed.
Yeah, I want to say these two reminded me of when AJ fought Brock Lesnar, but again, it's the same exact thing, right? AJ wanted to run. Yeah, Brock Lesnar had a couple minutes here where he got a hold of him, and then AJ picked up the pace and ran him until Brock Lesnar got his hands on him again, and that's what we saw here. And that's the exact psychology you want from both of these two guys. You know, that's the, again, Ricochet, who's what, 190 pounds, if that, you know, and
right.
What's his name, who's what, 300 pounds?
At least, yeah.
Close to it? Yeah, so,
yeah,
so that's the exact psychology you want in this type of match. It's like the match was good, the psychology fit the match, so the match was good. So I have no problem with it.
No, nor do I. I thought they did a good job, Todd. Great opening match. The crowd wasn't too alive.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it was a great match for our opener. And like you said, in that match, Ricochet didn't throw any punches. He uses speed to go after his legs with the kicks and everything, try to get the big man down. That's the way you start a match with a guy using his speed and agility to try to get a big man down, not use your strength or anything.
Yeah, it was a logical match. We get then to Zoe Stark versus Candice LeRae. I feel a little sorry for Candice LeRae because she was really a somebody in NXT. I mean, she was right at the top of the top. And in WWE, she has become one step above Dana Brooke. I mean, she does nothing. Absolutely nothing. Now, here's probably something that's going to aggravate some people, but I got to tell you like it is. I don't particularly care for Zoe Stark. If you were to give me both of these workers and tell me you got to run with one, I'll run with Candice LeRae, and I'll tell you why. Zoe Stark dogged it last night, and I didn't appreciate it. And if I were WWE, I wouldn't appreciate it either. I watched her literally take a drop kick where she took 1 second to react and then basically just tiptoed off the ring apron and said, I'll just land very gently here. She wasn't bumping at all for Candice LeRae, not at all. Her reaction time was slow. You're going to tell me, oh, she's just a fantastic athlete. She's right up there with Bianca Belair. You got to be on drugs if you think that. I watched her last night and I'm saying, this looks like somebody who's basically just like tentative. Let me just, I don't want to do anything too whatever. I don't want to break a nail. Now, I know she wasn't like that in NXT, and I don't know whether she's being told to be super, I don't know what, but I know at least two or three times during that match when Candice LeRae was getting offense, she acted like, I don't really want to sell it at all, but I guess I'll just gingerly step down or I'll gingerly lay down. If I were Candice LeRae, I'd be talking to her in the dressing room saying, you know, I know you're winning this match and all, but is it remotely possible that you're going to sell anything that I do ever? Or am I just inconsequential? I didn't like her performance last night. Tom, I thought it felt like she was lazy in there, and you don't want to see that.
It was bad, especially that dropkick spot. That reminded me of Liv Morgan when she first started. Like, she's doing everything in slow motion. You know what I mean? Like, when she first came to the main roster, she was doing everything in slow motion. Everything was like, okay, I'm getting ready for this move, and, oh, somebody hit me, so I'm just going to, you know, take a little bit of a landing. Oh, my God. I watched the end of the match, her finisher, which in NXT was devastated. It was a pretty good, finisher. She completely missed Candice LeRae. She completely missed. She completely missed. And I blinked. I was like, you know, if I miss any of this, I'm going to record it because, you know, whatever, and I'll watch the rest of it later. I was like, I'm glad I recorded it because I had to watch it again. I was like, did she really miss and still sell it? That was a...
Yep, she missed. It was not a good match, Mike. It was a bit sloppy, and it felt a bit lazy to me.
Right. If I'm Candice LeRae, I've been pissed off beyond belief. I'm trying to make a way for myself, and I've got a headwind against me because I'm small, and maybe I don't have quite the personality. And you're gonna do this? You're gonna dog a match like this with me? I mean, this is a thing. This is a big deal. I mean, obviously, Zoe Stark should have won that match. Obviously, she's a bigger woman.
Yeah.
She's probably
yeah.
got more talent and all that stuff. But again, when you have somebody that just dogs a match, and there are people that have been known to dog matches. I mean, look, Randy Orton, if he doesn't like you or whatever, he will dog a match. He has dog matches. But not to this point, you know.
The thing is this, if you're Randy Orton and you've established yourself over the years, if you're Brock Lesnar, you've established yourself over the years, you dog a match, okay, I dog the match. Zoe Stark, this is her second match in WWE. I don't think you want to dog it. And then you have the other thing with Nikki Cross in there. I have no idea what they're doing with that, Todd. It felt weird. It just wasn't – that this match did not appeal to me.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, this match with Zoe Stark and Candice LeRae last night, it was just one of those matches. It was just one of those matches. It was just not excellent. It was not great. It was not
– I just don't think Zoe Stark is going to be who they think she is. I think they thought she's going to be major, 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 and unless she wakes up quick, I don't see it. I don't see it. Anyway, Alpha Academy and the Viking Raiders, good match. That's a good matchup. I feel sorry for the Viking Raiders, though, man. They can't catch a win no matter who they – week after week after week, we see Alpha Academy lose because of Chad Gable. And I guess the storyline's supposed to be that Maxine is trying to convince Otis, see, your partner really just doesn't cut it. So they win this week, and Chad Gable gets the win. Ah, man, the Viking Raiders can't win no matter what you do. No matter what you do. That's sad, because they're actually a really good team, and they look pretty ferocious, actually. And for guys their size, they move really well. I would argue that if you gave them a real serious – the problem was you ruined them before you brought them back as badass. That was the problem. So nobody took them as badasses when you brought them back with Valhalla and the whole new whatever. They're like, it's still the Viking Raiders that played basketball with the Street Profits. You ruined them. And people are not willing to accept them as badasses now. So that experiment's over. It's a shame. Alpha Academy gets the win. I don't know about this, Mike. It's starting to look as though they're just going to sort of nix the Maximum Male Model. She's never with them. She's always with Chad Gable and Otis, and now apparently she doesn't really have a problem with Chad Gable anymore.
Apparently not. I mean, and that's the thing. I mean, I don't know what they're doing with this thing. And I mean, I would have pulled the pin. I don't know, they don't want to bring her back, but Mandy Rose, I would have pulled that pin. I mean, I would have kept going on that thing, and I would have pulled and had, you know, the whole thing with him getting full of himself and going against his guy and this, that, and the other. And then after a couple months of this stuff, Mandy Rose shows up and does what she's going to do. Now, I don't think they want her back, but I would have pulled that pin anyway, you know?
Or at least get some feuding going between the Maximum Male Models and Alpha Academy. That does not appear like that's going to happen. So, I mean, good for Alpha Academy. They deserve a victory and all. It's just weird. We then have Finn Balor versus Shinsuke Nakamura, and I swear to you, this is where I started tearing my hair out. Did they not say during the brand split, did they not say that, Shinsuke Nakamura, this is going to be a big, huge addition to Monday Night Raw, and then they put him in the tournament for the title, and he's the guy that takes the pin. And now they put him up against Finn Balor, and let's be honest with you, does Finn Balor have a big storyline coming up with anybody? Is Finn Balor fighting for a title somewhere? Is Finn Balor something that, you know, we need to get a victory? No. No. And so you've handled this ass backwards because you're telling me that Damian Priest is a guy you want to promote. So logically, if you want to promote Damian Priest, Damian Priest tries to interfere for Finn Balor, gets kicked out, Shinsuke Nakamura beats Finn Balor, and Damian Priest tries to get revenge next week and possibly beat Shinsuke Nakamura. And that there you've promoted Damian Priest. Finn Balor wins, and then Damian Priest does what? Next week loses? Or even if he wins, big deal, so did Finn then. And then Shinsuke's 0 for 3, which makes him virtually worthless. I have no idea why you would draft him so high then. It's, oh, what a wonderful acquisition, and you're going to use him for nothing but enhancement talent. I do not understand this at all, Tom, because my thought process is they're setting him up for Damian Priest. They're trying to promote Damian Priest. Finn will lose, barely. Maybe with a little Damian Priest interference, he almost wins, but then he's kicked out, and Shinsuke overcomes. And then that's a hill for Damian Priest to climb. Well, I'll get revenge for Finn next week. And then if he wins, okay, you've promoted Damian Priest. This way you've done nothing.
Yeah, they've absolutely done zero with they've up until this point, they've done zero with Finn Balor. And if Finn Balor doesn't win anything, he takes the fall, he takes the pin for everybody over the last how many months, and he's beaten Shinsuke Nakamura, who you just brought back, who you just pretty much hyped as the greatest addition to Monday Night Raw. He hasn't won anything. Why is he such a great addition? And you
that's what I'm saying, and I don't understand how this promotes. I don't understand how this promotes anything. Okay, Shinsuke Nakamura, who lost to Finn Balor, is now going to fight Damian Priest and probably lose. So Shinsuke's garbage. But does that make Damian Priest look super tough? Because Finn already beat him as well. So my thought process would have been Finn loses, Priest wins. It's promoting Damian Priest. This way, it's not promoting anybody, Mike.
Yeah, and I don't get it. I mean, that's the thing. This is a guy in Finn Balor, in a Shinsuke Nakamura that's got all skins on the wall, right? He should absolutely have went deep in that tournament, you know, for the title. Now, yeah we get it. What's his name's going to win the title, right? You know, we get that, right? But at least he should have went deep in that. In the title tournament, you know, and then one of the guys that ends up, you know, if not Cody Rhodes, then Shinsuke Nakamura, right? And that would have been
I mean, at this stage, they picked Shinsuke Nakamura, Todd, for no reason. It's just like the draft was. Oh well, you know, we'll just also ran.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, they drafted Shinsuke Nakamura from SmackDown to Raw. And ever since he came there, he'd just make him count the ring whites to lose matches, especially to Finn Balor last night. Come on now.
Well, that's it. I mean, you had no plan for him. We have no plan for Shinsuke, but we will draft him. We then did Raquel Rodriguez versus Sonya Deville, whereas Raquel Rodriguez has to pick a new tag team partner because Liv Morgan is injured. By the way, so is Dakota Kai. They were injured in the same match. So Liv Morgan is injured. Raquel Rodriguez has to pick a new partner. And guess who comes to her rescue? Shotzi. Here's the problem. Shotzi was drafted to SmackDown. I mean, I've really had enough of this. Why do you have the draft? What in the blue hell good is the draft? If anybody can come waltzing through the door at any time for any reason, what the hell good is the draft? It's bad enough you got AJ Styles, who's on SmackDown, going for a Raw title. But now Shotzi, who's clearly drafted to SmackDown, just shows up on Raw. He's going for the women's tag team titles. I understand you got an injury. You got nobody else back there? Nobody? Come on. I mean, you've got to do better than this, Mike. They've got to do better than this, or the draft means absolutely nothing.
Absolutely. And that's the thing. I mean, this draft absolutely means nothing right now. I mean, we thought it was going to be a good thing, but it's turned into a pile of crap. You know, that's what it is.
Yep. It is. A huge steaming pile of crap. And then to add insult to injury, if they said, well, you know, we're doing the draft, it's a fun thing, people are still going to show up on the other shows occasionally, but it's just they're mostly going to be here. No, Triple H coming out saying, you know, I'm a stickler for the rules, so I'm going to tell you all the rules. Well, what rules? There's no rules at all. It's just whatever they want to do, Tom.
Yeah, and it's very, you know, I said this last night on the thread. I said, you know, I'm very confused because the championship is being settled in the finals with a SmackDown guy and a Raw guy. It's specifically for the Raw brand because nobody could beat Roman Reigns. But then they still are going to have the Money in the Bank. So that means a Raw guy can potentially win the Money in the Bank and face Roman Reigns. Wait a minute. Of course you're going to face Roman Reigns. Why would you choose to fight Seth Rollins? Of course you're going to fight Roman Reigns. There's a bigger prize involved.
No, don't count on it. Don't count on it. They might have some eyes choose to fight Seth Rollins. They might do it. They might do it because they don't care. Because their writers are horrible. The writers are just horrible. So, and here we go again with more draft nonsense. Dominic Mysterio versus Apollo Crews. And as God is my witness, I said, okay, this is where the WWE can redeem themselves. Dominic Mysterio has a ton of heat, maybe more heat than anybody else. Rhea Ripley, oh, by the way, you've noticed that Judgment Day don't come out with each other anymore. Finn Balor comes out with Damian Priest, and Rhea Ripley comes out with Dominic. They don't come out with each other, which is fine with me because they always should have been on their own anyway. But anyway, my thought process is we're definitely going to see Rhea Ripley interfere. Apollo Crews is going to look like $1 million here. He's going to throw Dominic around a bit. Dominic's going to be stunned by how good Apollo is. Rhea is going to be stunned by how athletic and good Apollo Crews is. The announcers are going to say, man, Apollo Crews is, we've never seen him this good. And Rhea's going to do something, trip him, get disqualified, get him counted out, whatever the hell it happens to be. And they're going to run with their tail between their legs and Apollo's going to look great. No! Apollo just get beat. Okay, well, you drafted him. Why'd you take him out of the NXT? If you have nothing for him except you're going to lose. You and Shinsuke, why don't you guys form a tag team called the Losers? And all you do is lose. This is his debut, and he loses. Well, this is terrible. What the hell good is the draft? Oh, we drafted Shinsuke. Lose, lose, lose. We drafted Apollo Crews. Lose, lose, lose. Oh, you've done well. All your draft picks are just smashing. They're just doing wonderful, Tom. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
It really is, and you're right. They should form a tag team. All the guys they drafted at such a high spot, you know, they should form. They're just losing everything that they come into.
The underachievers. That's what you call them, Tom, the underachievers. We were drafted high, but we never win.
The job squad 2.0.
Yeah. I already got your T-shirts picked out. Win if you can, lose if you're ordered to. That's it. Listen, it's ridiculous. Give Apollo Crews a couple of victories. I don't want him to beat Dominic. But I think this would have been a really good feud to give to Dominic, whereas it's a longer-term feud. Give Dominic, a month of feuding with Apollo, where it looks like Apollo is more than a match for him. Rhea Ripley sort of thinks he might be more than a match for him. Dominic maybe eventually pulls it out with a little bit of chicanery and cheating, but not without there being somewhat of a long-term feud, a month or so. Right? Why can't you do that? No, just throw Apollo to the wolves. Who cares, Mike? He's just Apollo Crews. What the hell? Might as well leave him in NXT where he's doing fine.
Yeah. I mean, what the hell? And, the thing is they bring out these guys from NXT, and I will guarantee you they're going to do the same thing in a few weeks probably with Veer and Sangha, I guarantee
probably.
That makes me glad that I haven't seen General Aziz.
Yeah, you would think. Here's what you would think would happen. You would think that when the draft occurred, the writers would say, who can we use here? We really need a fresh group of people. So if we're going to bring this guy in, we got some plans for him. Shinsuke's coming in, good, because we will write some plans for him. Apollo Crews is coming up, good, we'll write some plans for him. No. Just, he's on the roster, just send him out to lose to Dominic. Shinsuke, okay, well, just send him out to lose to whoever. That is terrible. I think Shinsuke might have beat Karrion Kross, did he? Or I don't even remember whether he did or not. Karrion Kross is just, his gimmick is terrible. Oh, and by the way, thank you. Thank you so much to the WWE for probably giving away ahead of time who's going to win the title 100% on Saturday by having Karrion Kross saying, my next target is AJ Styles, which means you're either going to interfere in Saudi Arabia, or AJ's not winning the title because that's not going to be your first feud if AJ wins the title. So thanks, WWE writers. That was brilliant. That was a brilliant thing to do. By the way, it's such a brilliant thing for a wrestler to tell the wrestler he's targeting he's going to target him. That always works well. I just don't know. I don't know who's writing this crap, but that's exactly what it is. We then get to the main event, and here's the thing I'm going to say, and again, probably unpopular. I don't want to hear any fans, not one of you. I'll hear you. Call me up, and I'll debate you on it. I don't want to hear any fans say, Bray Wyatt's boring in the ring. He doesn't do that many moves, and he's not that good. But we love Gunther. Well, I don't know what the fuck Gunther does except chop you. I swear to God, I have watched 6 Gunther matches, and aside from his finisher, he just chops you. That's it. Chop, 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 chop. Body slam, suplex, maybe. That's it. Chop, 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 chop. Talk about zero moveset in the WWE. It consists of, I chop you. Go back and watch that match. See what he does. Go back and watch the Sheamus and Drew McIntyre match with him. Chop, 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 chop. Selling? What's selling? I don't sell. So Gunther's skill set consists of I undersell everything and I just chop you. Yeah, he's a good heel. But as far as you saying, oh, he's got a great moveset. No, he doesn't. Bray Wyatt's got a better moveset than Gunther. So don't give me that. I hate when people say, well, he doesn't know that many 5 moves of doom crap. Although, well, we only got 3 out of Gunther. Giovanni Vinci may as well retire, because the only reason he is in Imperium is actually just to take the pinfall. Every single time that you see Imperium fight, you know Vinci's losing. That's it. So there's no reason to even watch the match. You already know who's taking the pin. Aggravating as hell. We're going to talk more about that on Sunday if we get a chance. I know we had a lot to talk about with the United Champions, but we're going to talk about this alarming trend in wrestling where you can it's so predictable. Anyway, thanks to Matt Riddle, who completely missed. And literally, the announcers had to say, well, it was just incidental contact there. His flip from the top rope there. Gunther literally is like, should I even sell it at all? Which for Gunther is usually like, well, I'm not selling anything anyway. But this one didn't hit me at all. So now do I even roll off my opponent? Or do I just pretend he missed me? I guess I better roll off. I don't know, man. I don't know. If you can't do the move, or you're trying to be so careful, it's a bit of a risky move. Then don't do it. But if you're going to do it, you got to make it look halfway decent. And when you can clearly see there's no contact, and the announcers have to cover for you by saying, well, there was incidental contact. What's incidental contact? Incidental contact means I wasn't really trying to hit him, but I did. Not I was purposely trying to hit him and I missed. I don't know what to tell you. Not a very good match, really, overall, Tom. Matt Riddle's not looking sharp to me.
No, that was pretty bad. That was a pretty bad miss. It wasn't even a near miss. It was just he totally overshot it. I agree with you. It's kind of a risky move, but Kevin Owens at 300 pounds doing the Swanton is not. He hits it every time.
No, but it's a little different because he had somebody under him. You know what I mean? So you can't hit him full power because he's going to drive down on the guy underneath him. So if it was just one guy, yeah, with the second guy, you're hitting him in the back, and he's kind of on his hands and knees over top of another guy, so it makes it a little riskier.
I'd say like, you know, then choose something different, drop an elbow or something, or something that is not gonna miss and look stupid.
All Gunther has to do is stay a little bit on his hands and knees, and when he feels the contact, you go down a little bit. It's not that risky. It's a little bit risky, but like you said, then don't do it. Don't do it. The rule should be, well, if I have to be so careful, I basically miss. Let's not do it at all. It's not worth it because it's not going to look good. I can't tell you how many times I've talked to pro wrestling trainers who said, what the hell good is it to risk an injury on a move that doesn't even look good? If you are going to risk an injury, it better look sensational, because there are very non-risky moves that look good. So why in the world would you do one that doesn't and take a chance? Which is sound logic. Why would you? Is it correct? If it looks like shit and it hurts you or hurts your opponent, is it worth it? I know the rule when we were wrestling was, if it looks really, really super good and it's going to make the audience go, oh, my God, maybe I'll take a chance. But it's going to look like powdered shit. No, I'm not going to get hurt for something that people say, oh, that was dumb, that didn't look good. Well, great. And now I'm hurt. I mean, I don't understand. I don't know. I'm seeing Imperium lose their momentum. I'm even seeing Gunther lose a little bit of his momentum. He's obviously going to get in the feud with Matt Riddle. It wouldn't even surprise me if he lost it to Matt Riddle. Initially, I was extremely impressed with Gunther, but Gunther has to be in there with guys like Sheamus and Drew McIntyre and stuff to really be at his best. and he's sort of gotten the WWE disease. And the WWE disease is, let me work as little as possible and do as little as possible, and now, Mike, we're seeing it. Basically just chops and kicks and a couple of slams, and that's it.
Yeah, when you've got other people that we don't see that when they get in the ring, see Butch and what's his name, that they don't dog it. You're going to get a good match out of Butch. You're going to get a good
right.
match out of the I'm blanking on his name right now.
Rich
Holland. Yeah, you're going to get a good match out of them. I mean, and again, you said it before. Obviously, Gunther's the man in that group, right? Obviously. Now, if you're not going to, if he's going to dog it sometimes, then he can't be the man. And look, I like kind of like Gunther, but I think the guy in the group that has the most potential is not Vinci and it's not Gunther, it's Kaiser. Because he's a good wrestler and he's fine on the mic and he seems to keep Kaiser strong when he doesn't take any pinfalls, you know?
No, he doesn't. And you see, that is what I wanted to discuss. Wouldn't it be better? You could keep them both fairly strong if they just bounced back and forth. And you said, well, Kaiser took a pin once. Then he gets a victory once. Then Vinci takes a pin once, but he gets a victory once. That way it's like, well, you know, either one could get pinned or either one could win. When you always have the same guy who always takes the pinfall, then you know when he's in the ring, he's going to lose and it's boring. I don't know why they do that. Now, if you really wanted to shake the boat, how come you couldn't have had Matt Riddle get a surprise victory over Gunther? Just take a little quick roll-up, not hurt him anything, just a 1-2-3, where Gunther is just so frustrated and annoyed that he says, I'd like to see you do that one-on-one. That makes sense to me. No, it's got to be Vinci again. So, look, folks, for this reason, on paper, this looked great. On paper, I looked at this card and say, wow, I'd love to go see a card like this. The way it was executed from start to finish, I have a major problem with it again, especially as a go-home show. Ali, they just threw to the wolves. He's like, oh, I know I'm not going to win. And by the way, I've dropped my character. I'm no longer going to be that character. Nobody thinks I can win, and maybe I don't think I can win, and who the hell cares, and who knows. Oh, great. Fantastic. I'm sure he's real happy with that. I don't know what you're doing. I'm going to give it a C minus. It was fair, Mike, but wasn't what it should be for a go-home show.
Because it was supposed to be a go-home show, I can't give it anything higher than a D plus. I'm sorry. I can't.
I hear you. It was rough. Some of it was rough. And now we're starting to see performances that's a little rough in the ring, too. Todd, what's your rating?
Like you said, it just I thought it was not a great show. And, you know, I'm going to give it a D.
Yeah, so he's going to give it a flat D. Tom, what's your rating this week?
The match card was excellent. The execution was awful, and some of the things were just downright insulting. And for the fact that it's a go-home show, for a show that's overseas, that they built up, you know, over the last 3 weeks, and this is what we get as a go-home show, I'm sorry, I give it a D.
Okay, so basically everybody's giving it a D. I gave it a C minus. I really think they dropped the ball on this. But as a surprise, we got Cody Rhodes on the line to cut a little promo for this week. Cody. Okay, well, thanks for joining us, and we will see you on Friday with our predictions for Night of Champions.